Okay, so we're starting now, what I hope is 3 weeks, on Bona, Makapatish, and Soser. So it's very hard to figure out where to start with these malachos. So what I'm going to try to do today is provide a few definitions for the malacha of Bona and Makapatish and try to distinguish between them, and then to the extent that certain basic halachic questions are fundamental to that goal, we'll get them out of the way. Out of the way now. Okay. So first question, right? To always start, all of our malachot come from Mishkan. So where did Bona come from? So the Bavli doesn't ask the question explicitly, but the Yerushalmi does in source number one, where the Mishnah had said, "Right, Habona kamayivne v'yechayev." We'll come back to the rest of the Mishnah in just a moment, but the Gemara says, "Ma binyan haya b'mishkan." So, what building was in the Mishkan? Shayunosin krashim al gabe adanim. They used to put the boards into the sockets. They used to build the Mishkan. So then, the Gemara asks, but there seems to be a fundamental problem, because if you think that we derive Bona from the building of the Mishkan, one of the rules that the Yerushalmi assumes exists is that building is only a malacha if it is permanent. But if it is not permanent, so then it is not building. But that doesn't make sense. For the original building in the Mishkan itself was temporary because they were constantly traveling. So the Yerushalmi offers two answers. So Amar Rabbi Yosef, Mechaven Sheinosim Mechonim Al Pi Adibor Kmi Shehu Leolam. Rabbi Yosef gives you this wonderfully hashkafic answer. I don't know.
Esoteric.
Well, no, I mean there are many ways of reading it, but since they traveled Al Pi Adibor, so if it was as if it is forever. Now, that could be, you know, for different reasons. That could be because anything God says is forever. That could be because Lisha'a versus Lederos means when you know you're leaving, right, that you build it for a set time, right? In this case, you didn't know how long it was going to be, right? It could just be a technical point, namely that because they didn't know when they were going to leave, as far, you know, for all they knew, they would be there for years.
Hashem tells you, camp here, so you're here.
Right. So again, this could be like a theological point, that once God says something is permanent, it could also be a practical point, that they didn't know when they were leaving, right? You could read it different ways. I'm saying you could read this at multiple levels. I like the highfalutin theological level. You know, everything that God says has permanence, and we can go on for a while, but exactly. But anyway, that's the first position in the Yerushalmi. The second position, Amar Rabbi Yosi b'Rabbi Bon, Mechaven she'evtichan HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shu mechnisan la'aretz kimi shehu she'olam. He said, what are you talking about? How could you say this is le'olam? God, it's true that God was telling them to travel, but he also told them it was temporary because they're on the way to Israel, and therefore the original Bona in the Mishkan seems to have been not le'olam, right? But l'sha, right? That's assuming that I'm reading that rhetorically.
There's a missal that says l'sha.
Right, so you can either read this rhetorically, right, l'olam, or you can read it l'sha. They're two different gersot, yes. They both come to the same point. It's either it is l'sha because God said it's only temporary, or could it possibly be l'olam? God told them that it wasn't going to be but the point is the same. There's a machlokes in the Yerushalmi whether Bona, which is derived from the building of the Mishkan, is only prohibited if it is permanent or not. And I gave you in the L.A. Tamar just sort of a clarification, because I thought he was clearer than some of the classic before Hashem. He said the machloket really is. L.A. Tamar is Rishachar Tamar, who writes a fascinating parish on the Yerushalmi. But as he explains in number two, right, l'olam obviously doesn't mean forever. That everyone seems to agree with. It means with kviut, right, with some level of permanence versus some level of impermanence or no level of permanence. And he said the machlokas is on the one end: is there kviut because whatever God tells you, you know, you're there, and they didn't know how long they would be there. Or do you say that because they knew they were leaving, so then it was l'sha? Now, how do we paskin? So this is a machlokas rishonim. The Ritva paskins like the second position in the Yerushalmi, that bone is even usser if it is temporary. And he's not the only Rishon who takes this. However, many of the Achronim push back on this based on different Gemaras. So, for example, number four, the Gemara raises the bonnet discussion in a context of Mechabe, and the Gemara says, Amrula lolo kum Yehudis, Sivira levi, Kesavar Yehudis, Sosa, Manas Livnos, Bimkomo, Adesoser, Almanas Livnos, Shalom, Bimkomo, Lo, Adesoser, which is a different principle, which we'll get to maybe in Soser, that if you destroy something with the intent to rebuild it in its place, so that's a constructive destruction, and therefore that is usur, that midah raisa. But if you're going to rebuild it somewhere else, so that's considered destructive and not constructive, and therefore it would be not usur midah raisa. But amr le rabba, rabba zin mechdi, kom alachos yalfin lomi mishkan vasim sorsal manas, livno shalom bimkomo. He said, how can you say that soser is... that Soser is only Aser if you're going to rebuild in the same place. Again, we learn it from the Mishkan. And Bona and Soser in the Mishkan, it was constantly in flux. They were deconstructing the Mishkan, rebuilding it. So Amar Lei, Shiny Hasim, came into Chsiv al Pi Hashem, Yachanu, Kiso Shomanaz, Livnos, Bimkom Odami. And this is even more theological, right? Since their place was wherever God said it would be. And therefore, even though it was a different place, right? God is Mekom, right? Yes. God is Mekom Shalom. Whatever God says, right? So it can count as the same place. You don't like it? Take it up with God. Now, based on this, the Chsam Sofer, number five, says, well, if the Bavli accepts the Svara, the traveling, Al Pi Hashem, makes it as if you're Bimkomo, so then presumably it also makes it as if it is Leolam, and therefore he assumes the Bavli rejects the position, the second position of the Yerushalmi, except the first position of the Yerushalmi, that you can only build Leolam, and that's the Chsam Sofer in number five. However, this is not obvious, and Rasher Weiss notes that you can distinguish. I mean, the question of Soser Livnos Bimkomo may be, and again we'll come to this with Soser, may be a rule that tells you if you're destroying something to rebuild it elsewhere, so that means that your current destruction is total destruction, right? And the fact that you're rebuilding it elsewhere is not connected to the original building, right? Since you need Soser, which is constructive, right? If the shul is... the community has died out. You're destroying the shul here, and then you're going to rebuild it, and you're selling it to a developer, and you're going to rebuild another community, right? It's true that you're destroying it so that you'll have the money to build somewhere else, but they're not in any fundamental way connected. But if God says take it apart so that you build it somewhere else, it may be that it's constructive. That doesn't necessarily relate to the Shaul Doros discussion, and therefore this may not be a good raya. In Erevin and Nunhei, there's another discussion which the Pesach Hadver, the Chida, uses to prove as well that the Bavli Paskin, that is Lidoros. But the truth is, none of the raya, there is no explicit raya in the Bavli that we don't agree with which opinion the Rishonim we agree with, and therefore Rav Gigi says that in the end of the day, since many Rishonim accepted the Yerushalmi, we should be definitely machmir for that position. Now, why do I do this question right at the front, right? So as I said, right, I'm not, I'm trying to get to definitions here of Bonet, but this sort of little question of do we paskin that temporary building is d'oraisa d'rabbanan does force us to ask the question, okay, what is the definition of boneh? We derive boneh from the Mishkan. But as you see in the Yerushalmi and in the Rishonim, that limud is very tight, right? It's not, this isn't, for some reason, by boneh, it's not just that we say, well, Bona existed in the Mishkan, right? The Rishonim and the Yerushalmi, for that matter, insists that it's not just that we say, oh, there was bone in the Mishkan, therefore bone is Asur. The contours of that malacha are derived from the Mishkan, which already tells you that bone isn't simple building. It's a very limited type of building, namely the building that was in the Mishkan. Now, you see that in a second way as well, and that is... Okay, now I'm changing my mind on how to do this in order, but... And the second way that you see this is if you skip down to number 15. To 14, right? So this is the Yerushalmi, but in the Bavli, you see this a very similar discussion, right? The Mishnah, as we'd started, had said, Abone kama yivne v'yechayev. So Abone kolshu. Bone your chayev, even if you build the slightest amount. So the Gemara says, if you skip to the Gemara, kolshu l'may chazya. Why is building a minimal amount called building? Why is that significant? Amar Rabbi Yirmiyah, shekein ani chofer guma latznia ba prutosav. So Rabbi Yirmiyah says, because one of the things that counts as bone is building a hole, right, digging a hole, but for the purpose of using the hole, and poor people who have just a few coins to their name will hide their fortune, right, there, whatever, 55 cents, in a hole in the ground. And therefore, even small building is significant. And then he says, "Dekavasa gabe mishkan, shegein tofre yerios, chofren guma, latsnia b'machdeyan." And you're going to tell me, wait a second, bone comes from the Mishkan. And the Mishkan also, they used to build tiny little things, because the sowers used to hide away their needles so that they, as the Rishonim say, so they wouldn't rust. And they would dig tiny little holes, and they would put their needles in those holes to store them. Abaye Amar Kaven, Mishchei Lo Avdei Hachi. Abaye said, no, right, that would cause problems. It would rust in the ground. Okay, fine. Ela Shekein Ani, Osepit Butei Kira Ktana, Lichvos Lov Kdera Ktana. Rather, it's because a poor person will make a tripod, right? A little tripod to cook his tiny little food. He doesn't have that much food, but he'll build a tiny tripod upon which to build his food. And you had that in the Mishkan also, that if they needed only a little bit of dye in the Mishkan for finishing touches or whatever the case might be, so they would make the same tripod and they would cook. And they would cook the dyes on it. Now, they didn't do that. If they needed dyes, they cooked it in big pots. So Ella Shekane Balabayas, Sheshlo Nekev, Bibiraso Visosmo, the Kavasaga by Mishkan, Shekane Keresh and Ufla, but Darna made the Lasoka ever Visosmo. Rather, it's because if someone has a hole in their house, he'll fix it. And in the Mishkan, they did the same thing. If there was a hole because of whatever, because of a termite, because of a hole, because of whatever, wear and tear, even a little hole they would fix. And therefore, there were small sized bone in the Mishkan. Now, all the Rishonim have a problem here, which is, we don't ask this by Hotzah, we don't ask it by Mavir, why suddenly by Bone do we ask, why should you be Chayav Kolshu? By Hotzah, you're also Chayav for Kolshu. We don't say, where in the Mishkan did they carry small things? Or where in Havara, right? When did they burn small things in the Mishkan? By Borer, we don't ask, right? How small in the Mishkan? Why is there this threefold Machloket as to where you see in the Mishkan that there were tiny little buildings? So Tosfos, the Ritva, the Ran, they all weigh on this. And the Tosfos says, Kol Shemai Chazi, Dafka Hacha Itzrech LeFerushe, Davei DeKavasa B'Mishkan, Mishum DeLo Chashev Binyan Kol Shu, V'Motzi Itran U'Palpeles Kol Shu, Svarahu DeMechayev. He said, well, carrying it just makes sense. That you carry a little bit, it's significant, right? It doesn't matter how small something is. If you thought to put something in your pocket, that's significant, right? You put the needle in your pocket, there was a reason you put the needle in your pocket. But by bone, it's not obvious. But you could always ask, why is it not obvious, right? Meaning, if you took the time to build it, so you built it. But what it seems to be that Tosfos is getting at, and then it's, you know, even more explicit in the Rishonim, in the Ritva, and the Ran in just a minute, is that maybe that what the Gemara is telling you is bone isn't just building, bone is significant building. Right? And significant building, where do we get our notion of what is significant building? From the Mishkan. And if there's a type of building that could theoretically be called building, but the Mishkan didn't have it, then that isn't significant building.
I mean, fundamentally, what he's really telling you is that when it comes to Hotzah, significant Hotzah, by definition, is transport of something you need, and the size is not significant.
Right, but by Bona, it's not. Well, let me put a different spin on it, right? And this is what will be important. What might be even more important here is that there is a very similar to Malacha to Bona, which we'll talk about, which is Makeh B'Patish, right? Is that there's a, right? And this is what I think it really is. It's not just that, well, building is not significant. It's that Makeh B'Patish seems very similar to Bona, right? It's the end of the building process. What the Gemara, I think, is more bothered by is, what is the difference between Bona and Makeh B'Patish such that they are different? And the simplest intuitive answer must be that Bona is building something significant, and Makeh B'Patish is building things where the significance doesn't come from the structure. Okay, I'm going to leave that very ambiguous because we're going to come back to it. And therefore, in order to define something as Bona, every contour of the definition has to find a place in the Mishkan qua Bona, in terms of where were you going to rebuild, in the case of Soser, in the case of how long is it for, in the case of what size is it, where we're trying to distinguish what is Bona, what is significant building such that it is A, building at all, or B, that is not merely Makeh B'Patish. You see this in the Ritva and the Ran in slightly different forms. You look at the Ritva says, and the Rashba says the same, but the Ritva is slightly clearer. Right? Kol shul maichazim, Rav Yirmiya, the chulei, the kavasakam, the mishkan, shein tovi, riyas tov, from guma, latzim, vach machtem. And he says, perish, avakav danan avas malachos, kufayu, afinami mishkan, viloshi urehem. The Ritva says, this is weird, because normally we just learn the malacha from the mishkan, not the shir. Right? Not how much of the malacha you need to do. In general, shirim are given over to the chachamim. We don't find a model in the Mishkan. Hacha, aidi de binyan kol shu lo mashma de lahave chashiv malacha, said, well, building a small thing, misvara, I would have said, isn't building. It's trichina on the mismachei ha-mishkan. V'chanami amrin l'kaman b'chorish kol shu. So the Ritva takes these, not the Makeh B'Patish Bona, the first version I said, simply, building, when you think of building, right, how many of you intuitively would have said that setting up a tripod for a camera, right, is building? Right? You wouldn't. How do I know that it is? Because it's in the Mishkan. The Ran, right, says, Kamashmalan, the Kevin, the Kenegdim, Mikaimina, and Vahavya B'Mishkan, Melechas Machshevesi. Because it's the significant type of building that exists in the Mishkan, it is Melechas Machsheves.
If everything in the Mishkan is significant, how are we going to find Makeh B'Patish? If we're saying Makeh B'Patish is anything not this.
We'll come to that. We'll come to that. Right? But we haven't gotten to it yet. But the first thing that I think is important to note, both from the temporal distinction and the size, the sheer distinction, the sheer discussion in the Gemara, is that two things, right? One, the way the Ritva takes it, that there seems to be an intuition, that Bona isn't just building, it's significant building. The chiddush of the Gemara, that even things you might think are not significant are significant because of their derivation of the Mishkan, or in the Bavli you actually get a double. It's significant in the Mishkan, and by the way, I can show you that in real life, it's significant also, right? So they give you a double-pronged proof, right? One from real life, one from the Mishkan. And the second thing, which the Rishonim don't say explicitly, but I think is the second thing you have to deal with, is that the reason they're convinced that Bona has to be significant is because Makeh B'Patish seems to be less significant or significant in a different way, and they need to distinguish Bona from it. And that, you know, I think is part of what's driving them to come up with a stronger, shall we say, or more ambitious, as Rosenzweig would say, definition for Bona than you might otherwise find. Yeah.
Didn't we have in the introductory shur on Shabbos that shir sometimes does play a part?
Sometimes, right? But the Rishonim is, right? And the question is, when does and when doesn't it? Right? I'm not going to go through all, right? Ritvari tells you that says that the same thing happens by Choresh, right? I don't want to get back into Choresh, but there are other Malachot where this is true also, and we could ask this question in each case, and the Ritva is implying that we should, but I'm going to focus on Bona, because as it is, we're going to be short time.
During the week, then we talk about the house. Yeah.
Couldn't you say, I mean, maybe it's a little bit different, the way that the Gemara is treating the Shir here, so you have to find a conceptual use for the the thing that you built. That's the real life part of it. And the fact that doing that action is actually significant as a malacha is where you're looking back to the Mishkan.
It's not double proof. It depends a lot on what you think. Right? You talked about this more in your introduction on Malachot. It depends on how you think Malachot came about in the relationship to the Mishkan, right? If you think that all that matters is the Mishkan, then you know the fact that it's giving real life is just sort of a mashal, right? If you think that you need both Chashivos and Mishkan.
Well, it's pretty clear in other Malachas that we define the Shir based on utility. Like all the Siddur.
Okay, but it's Machlokot Rishon in the beginning of Bavakama and in the Baror Sugya. Right, meaning you basically have three opinions in Rishonim, right? Either you need anything which is in the Mishkan is a malach automatically, whether it's significant or not. Anything which is significant is a malacha, whether or not it's found in the Mishkan, which is actually a position of Tosfos, right? It's just that we don't count it in the 39, but you can theoretically have malachos that are full-fledged malachos and not in the Mishkan, which is one version of what Tosfos thinks Kotesh is. Right, it's something significant, or right, Tosfos's discussion in the beginning of Bava Kamma that you need both it to be in the Mishkan and to be significant. Right, so how you read this Gemara hangs on how you right how you want that. Right,
but
if you think you need
the Chashivas part of it, I understand.
So if you think, well, I'm saying if you need Chashivas and Mishkan, so then what it's giving you is two separate proofs. Now you're right, you could interplay them. Right, say look, in real life it's significant, and by the way, in the Mishkan it was also significant, or you know. We can read this in many different ways, but again, how much emphasis you give to the Mishkan component, how much the significance, how much to the interplay, depends in general on how much you think those right three possibilities play into Malacha in general. And yes, there's all different types of versions that we could formulate with regard to this. Okay, so Boneh is significant building, either because we get it from the Mishkan, or because real life, or an interplay, or however you want to frame it. Okay, but what is this thing called? Called Boneh. So I gave you an 8. I skipped all of his proofs because everybody quotes the Ibn Azel, but it's really not simple that he's right. But I'm going to give it to you up front because if you read a lot of the modern works, they're obsessed with Ibn Azel. Right? Ribiat is obsessed with the Ibn Azel, and like this is his introduction. His introduction is literally out of the Ibn Azel, and he spends a long time in the back going through interpreting the Ibn Azel, defending the Ibn Azel. It's not a bad thing, but it does make it important to sort of put out his definition. So he tells you as follows, an 8. He says, Av malacha de boneh hu bibinyan bayis mamash, sheyesh bazeh shnei chalakim, asiyas ha-ohel, ohel, umikabetz, chelek el chelek. He said, in order for something to be boneh, to be significant, you need two things. One is that it's the making of an ohel, and two is that it is putting together pieces. So he says, well, it depends. The av malacha of boneh, if the definition is two things, building an ohel and combining portion, chalakim. But because there's this category called toldot, even if you do one of these, it may be boneh because it has one of the fundamental aspects of boneh. And therefore, right, if I started building and now I'm continuing building, so I only need to do one part of it, it may be that you're chayav at that point as well. So the Ibn Azel tells you, what is boneh? What is the definition of boneh? It's two things. Classic boneh is building an OL and combining pieces together. And the toldot of boneh are either or. And therefore, as we'll see, this is how he explains like making cheese, which the Gemara thinks is boneh, right? Because you are mekabetz chalakim. I have never made cheese, but you sort of are mekabetz chalakim, I guess, right? You put together curds and it makes it hard, right? So that is how he understands it. So that's sort of two aspects of the definition of boneh, right? Asiyas ohel and mekabetz chelek al chelek, which either you need both or you need one or the other.
So putting aside,
is that only just it's not it's lav davka ohel specifically just something of utility?
No, or yes, and that's what we're not doing this week. But I'll throw it out now. Now, whether this is true or not, the extent of this is true is the fundamental. is the fundamental machlokes hangs on this, which is yesh or ein binyan bekelim. Right? The Gemara has a machlokes, which we'll see probably next week, whether there is or is not bone by non-houses, by non-structures, but by kelim. The Gemara paskins that ein binyan bekelim. The Rishonim say maybe. Right? Maybe. And that's what we're going to see next week, is that Rashi will take the position at, yes, only, there's only bone by structures. Ein binyan bekelim, end of story. And therefore, Rashi would say, no, it's dafka ohel. The other Rishonim, who tell you, no, only ein binyan bekelim sometimes, will complicate that story. And that's why I said, I didn't know what I should start with. So I wanted to start with these definitions because it opens the halachic questions, which we'll discuss next week. So the question of whether he's right, meaning, is a CSOL dafka, right, or not? Can you have a tolada that doesn't have a CSOL? That's what the background to the machlokas, whether you say yesh or ein binyan bekelim. But those are two sort of possible definitions. Again, and you see, one of those lends itself to saying bone is only by structures. The other one opens the possibility of bone by kelim.
So looking at the chelik part, so putting any other malachas aside, if I took a piece of gold and made the menorah out of it, it's one piece.
So number nine, let's move to number nine. What if, so can you have bone if it doesn't have either? So let's say you make a kli, right, out of one piece. So then you have no ohel, and you have no medabek halakim. Can that be bonus? So that is a machlokes, Bavli and Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi tells you, if you blow glass, you are chayv mishum bone. That's the functional equivalent of what you just asked, right? Yeah. You make a kli, not out of pieces, but in one shot, right? You blow glass, now you made a kli. The Yerushalmi says, you are chayv mishum bone. The Bavli, in number 10, however, says, Amr Bishum ben Kisma, Amr Bishum ben Lakish, at Sartsura Bekliv, and Abhech Bekliv, Chuchis, Chai Mishum Make Be Patish. I will say it once, and then I will never say it again, but I need to say it once, just get it off my chest. Technically, grammatically, does Make Be Fatish. Now we will never say that again, because it's annoying. Okay? I've got it off my chest. Okay?
By the glass, you're taking all the...
What?
You're taking all the clutter okay. of the sand. So you are building out of particles.
So you could say that, except we're talking about the blowing glass, right? We're talking about later, right? We're in menapeach, right? It's already liquid glass, right? Right? So one simple way of reading this machlokes Bavli Yerushalmi is that they're arguing about this point, which is, can you have bona, which is neither a CSOL nor medabek halakim, is simply creation of a kli. The Yerushalmi says, yes, a CS kli, even without medabek halakim, can be bone. And the Bavli says, no, it can't. However, that's not necessarily true, because if you look at the Ran in number 11, the Ran quotes the Rabbi Chananel, says as follows, Shela achar shanasa kli mashra panav u'atzmei na malacha, shei karnasa kli el shigomra malacha, mikan lamdu kol dover shu ba'atzmei na malacha, el shal yada nigmar lachayva al gmar malacha, kino peyach b'lichli schuches pam shniya, the Ran says there are really two stages. You blow the glass the first time to give it its basic shape, and then you do all the fine details. The Gemara is comparing menapeach kli schuches to atzar tzuru b'kli, to making the final design on a kli. So the Ran says, when you chayv makav patish by blowing glass, only the second one. But that leaves the possibility that you're probably chayev for the original blowing, not for makav patish, but boneh. Now, if the Ran is right, then even the Bavli agrees that asiyas kli, even without medabek halakim, could be boneh. So that brings us to definition three of boneh, right? Definition one is asiyasol, definition two, right? These are not mutually exclusive, but mean possible things that go under boneh. So one is asiyasol, one is medabek halakim, and then if the Ran is correct, or you paskin like the Yerushalmi, possibly asiyas kli, right, making something significant even without chalakim would be bona.
Is it shaykh to be or shayach to be over in one maaser, only or I should say, two avos or two toledos in one maisa?
Yes.
Yes, yeah. Or maybe.
That's a popular sport in the Gemara.
Yes. Yes.
So I'm just curious.
But we're going to come back to it. Wait.
I'm just curious if the Bavli mentioned Maka with Fadish.
No, I said we're never doing that again. I said we're doing it once. Once.
You're not.
So, okay.
You know, but said that because that was the more appropriate versus Bona, as opposed to saying you're high on both. Or is that, if the Gemara really...
It's possible. We're coming then in just a minute. Okay. Rav Digi in 12 notes that there is another possible way of deflecting the proof of the Yerushalmi, and that is, and this gives us a fourth possible factor to consider in Boneh, is when you're minapeach, zchuches, at some level you have a totzah of a kli without an asiyas kli. Right? I mean, you don't have the process of Boneh, but you did accomplish Boneh. It could be the Machlokes Bavli and Yerushalmi isn't about the possibility of Boneh without Medabek Halakim. The question is, can you be Chayev, you know, a Totsah without a classic Maisa? Now, if that's right, what Rav Gigi notes is that leaves the possibility that the Bavli would think you're Chayev for a Asiyas Kli in other cases. So maybe in Jeffrey's case, for example, Minapeach Kli Zchuches, you're blowing and a cup appears. But carefully molding a menorah out of a block of gold, there is sort of a Maase Asiyah in a more real sense.
It's a false argument because first you define it's not Asiyah. It's not binyan. You say, it appeared. Maybe that is binyan. Maybe.
This is not an argument as much as it's a deflection, right? He says it's a right. You can be very right nuanced here, and you can okay.
That is derech binyan for glass.
Is it derech binyan or is it derech makom apatish? Right. That's the problem. Is this type of thing called boneh, or does boneh require a certain assembly? Right, and that's really the question, because you could, as Jeffrey noted, right, you could say that Mepeach Kli Zchuches is an assembly, even if it's creation, but building a menorah is maybe that's closer to assembly. I don't know, right? Yesh Ladun.
I don't know.
Like I said, I'm trying to throw out different definitions to show you that boneh, right? We now have like 3.5, right, possible factors. Yeah.
You can have that by analogy.
You don't have to buy it. I'm not sure I buy it. Yeah.
And another. You can have the same thing by Bishol. Let's say.
Okay, I don't want to get to Bishol. No, absolutely not. I'm not now.
Ron's chilek fits into the lashon of the Yerushalmi and the Bavli. The Yerushalmi says, "Manofeach kli zchuches." That's making the first level.
Yes, and that it is. Right. Yeah, I mean, the Ron can definitely be read as a careful diuk in the Gemara. Okay, I just will point out that the Medabek Halakim distinction is actually the Tosas Rid. The Tosas Rid just puts it very simply in 13. Lo dami labona el kshmi chabra kli prakim prakim dum yin dekne menorah milav nos ukare mita a kli asmi perg echad kol malach hashata osebo eno mishumaka upatish. He just says it very simply. If it is assembling multiple pieces, it's boneh. If it's one piece, it is makav patish. That is just his rule.
He doesn't mean the menorah in the Mishkan.
He needs a menorah. He's talking in the sugya there of just a lamp. He's just talking about menorah shel chuliyot.
Okay.
Fine.
Is it charged to say that that with glass? I mean, I don't know if you've ever watched them blow glass, but basically, you don't actually create a kli when you're blowing it, because it's fastened to the tube. You have to break it off the tube.
So maybe
there's a part,
and
there's a
bone. I mean, that's the Ron says, even though he focuses on a different stage, but you could say the same thing there. Maybe.
Use the lesson of Menapeach and the Gemara.
Yeah, I don't know. Okay. So there we have sort of three, maybe four, question which we have, if we have four, possible definitions that go under the category of boneh, right? Okay. Now, the next Okay, the next thing you have to ask is, okay, is it possible to have boner outside the world of buildings and kelim? What if we go beyond that? What about Adam? What about Ochlin? Right, so that's the Gemara in 18, where the Gemara, the Mishnah says that you are... There's all these different actions, which Rabbi Lazar says is also midaraisa. Chacham says is also midirabbanan. Now, what are included in those? So, one of them is godeles. What is that? So that is braiding hair. So the Gemara says. Why are you chayav for this? So the Gemara says, "Amar Rabbi Avin, Amar Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Chanina, Godelis Mishum Oreges, Kochel Mishum Koseves, Thing Mishum Tove." So then the Gemara says, "Amar Rabbanan Kameid Rabbi Avo, V'chidar Chariga B'kach, is this normal weaving? V'chidar Tiva B'kach, V'chidar Kvi B'kach, Amar Rabbi Avo, L'didi Mifarshin Minei Der Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Chanina, Godelis U'pokeses Mishum Bone, braiding hair is chayv because of building. V'chidar Chbe Beginning B'kach, do you build people? So yes, in kidedarash shimmenasya va even Hashem Elokim esat selam lamet shekila kodesh baruch hu lechava vehevia etzel adam.
Shameless alert for anyone who printed this.
Yes, sorry.
Another reason why we keep it digital.
Exactly. And then what?
What about circuits?
Electric circuits.
I'm not getting to circuits today. No, absolutely not. I'm not doing that today. But braiding hair, the Gemara says, yes, God braided Chava's hair, to prepare for her first date and marriage. What?
That's what that means?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
What did you think it meant?
Yes.
About the importance of how...
Yes, God braided her hair. Yes.
Not her hair.
Yeah, but the Gemara.
Right, but kila is generally a term
for hair. No, it's hair.
Braiding. That's what that means.
Yes.
Adam, I once thought to read it the way you do, but I think
it's very metaphorical. But no, the Gemara.
Especially the rest of the line in the Gemara.
It's not metaphorical.
Where they talk about the language that's used in Kracheh Hayam.
Better way to say it, but it's not.
No, it's the braiding. It's the braid. Anyways, but yes, the Gemara thinks that braiding. The hair is bone. So there you get the fourth possibility. Now this doesn't fit anything, right? This is not OL, this is not Medabik Chalakim, it's not a CS Kli, right? It is... maybe Medabik Chalakim, I don't know. Now, the question is, do we Paskin like it? So the Rambam and Shulchan Aruch and basically everybody say that we don't Paskin like Rilazar, we Paskin like Chachamim. In 19, I gave just the Rambam, right? They say it's Nirek Bone. It sort of looks like Bone. It might look like Bone for the reason that Yaakov said, because you braid the hair together. But no, the Gemara says in the end, braiding the way we Paskin is not Bone de Araisa. Which leaves us with the definitions that we had before. The next bone the Gemara has is bone ochlin, where the Gemara suggests that tenra ban chol v'chavetz magamim gorez, etc. It gives a whole different cases, and the Gemara then has a machlokes. And I'm just going to say it outside, but the Gemara has a machlokes whether we paskin then making cheese is also midaraisa or not. Again, mishum bone. Now, how do we paskin on this one? Is much more complicated because while the poskim paskin that we don't say that braiding is also midaraisa mishum bone. How we paskin in terms of cheese is much more difficult. So you look at 20. The Rambam says v'chen okay chalav nosen bokeva kedei lechavtzo or is a chayv mishum toldos borer shehivrish kum mina chalav. The first process where you're separating out the curds and whey, that's borer v'im gavnova say ugvina chayv mishum bone. But if you make cheese, so then you're chayav bone midaraisa. Shekola mekabeis chelik al chelik v'davak akol at sheyasu guvechad areza dome lebinyan. Because when you put pieces together, it is dome lebinyan. Therefore, it is a toladar. That's what he says at the end. Umigufa not malacha not b'shabas teda me'ein eza avi v'tolada zeda avi. Right? It is a tolada of bone, and this is where the Evan Ozel gets his proof that medabek chelik al chelik is bone even by Ochlin, because the Rambam paskins that cheese is making cheese is also midde oraisa. The problem is not problem. The catch here is twofold. One is that the Rambam isn't the only voice. I just gave you the summary in the Aruch HaShulchan to make it quick. But v'yesham zeurak midirabbanan, right? Many of the Rishonim, the Mishnah quotes them, and the Aruch HaShulchan entertained this halacha, think that making cheese is only yesham midirabbanan, following the other position in the Gemara. And he says, v'yesham dimayon hu megabin labonim, v'yesham kol makabit chilak achalik v'davak akol, ad sheyasek uvechad reza told his bone. He said, in what sense does it even look like it? Because you put together the curds. But that may not be enough. Now this right gets us to our question in Bona in terms of definitions. The Ibn Azil says, well, according to the Rambam, putting together pieces is always Bona. If you paskin like the Magen Mishnah, like Aruch HaShulchan, then no, it's only Domei LaBona. To the extent that putting together pieces is Bona, it's only significant, but cheese is not significant or not firm enough or whatever you want to say, or there's only binyan by, you know, building materials and not by food, right? Whatever limitation you want to put on it hangs on whether you think that megabein is de'oraisa or de'rabbanan. So that's sort of clarifying that issue, but it gets more complicated. And here's our fourth and a half definition to Bona, is there is a problem. The Shulchan Aruch paskins that ha-mekabeis dvei lavasa minu igol, if you put together dates and make, right, dvela, which was in the New York Times last week, as it's the new thing. Dvela is now the new in food. It's taken 1,500 years, but they have brought it back.
It's called dvela?
Well, they mentioned that it's dvela, that this is like an ancient food that was eaten called dvela. Yes, because they've said people who want health, like energy bars, are sick of all the fake garbage they put in it, so they've gotten to just eating condensed dates. Right, and they said, "Hey, it was good enough 1,500 years ago. It's good enough now." Boom. So dvela is back in style. Great. So your chayav ma'amir, right, for gathering. So the Magen Avraham in 23 says, "Tzarachian de lama lo yischayav bazem mishum bone." Why is it called gabi megabein? Right. If you think that making cheese is asmi daraisa, so why isn't making dvela asmi daraisa? It's medabek chalakim, right? So he says, "V'tzarach lomar de lo mikri bona ela kishemechavin liafoso lashvoso." Magen Avraham says, "No, medabe chalakim isn't enough for bona. It's not just putting things together. It has to be putting things together with the intent to make it smooth and nice. So it's not enough to be medabe chalakim. This is your fourth definition of bona, right? It needs to be not just combining, but." Combining with architectural sensitivity, okay. The Chayadim is even clearer about this. Just to see it, Chayadim says, "I feel b'davar machal shayach binyan. You can have building by food, go to megabing gvina v'chayotzebo, but lav dafka gvina, but not only cheese." And then he says in 25, however, was it gvina bal tmuna heve bona? What does it mean to make cheese? He says making cheese itself is not bona. It's where you make shapes of cheese, right? You just make cheese and it's a blob. That's not bone. If you're just making a blob, maybe it's lush. Your problem, not mine. But it is not bone. So just to summarize this, and I'll take a question. So what definitions do we have for bone? The first thing we saw is it has to be significant, right? It has to be a structure. According to some, that means only OL. And we're going to see that's Rashi's position, who's going to reject Binyan B'Kalim completely and say any Binyan in Kalim is only Makav Patish. Second possibility is that the classic Bona may be OHEL and Medabek Halakim, but the Toldos are anything which are either OHEL or Medabek Halakim. That's the Evan Azel. The third model of the Magen Avraham, I'll now skip to that. Magen Avraham, the Chayadim is no. You can have bona, yes, out of structures, but it's not medabek halakim itself. It's only combining things with a certain level of architectural sense and sensitivity. Only that is going to be bona. But mere combination of pieces is not going to be bona. And then we saw the question of right, what about creation, but in one step, right? The Yerushalmi entertains the possibility, and the Ran seems to entertain this possibility, even the Bavli, that any creation is bone, with or without assembly required, right? Creation is bone. Significant creation is bone, even of Kalim. And if you don't read like the Ran, that is the Machlokas Bavli and Yerushalmi. Is creation without assembly bone or makabe patish? But those are, you see, sort of different definitions that are flying around in terms of bone that become as, so, you know, as I said, what I was going to do today is cover a few mini halachic questions that cut to different parts of the definition. So, you know, I'm not coming back to cheese, right? But you see that the cheese question, right? One question is, can you have bona by ochle? And the second one is, what would it mean to have bona by ochle? Medabek halakim, which is the Rambam Ibn Azel, or only medabek halakim with sensitivity as to form, which is Moginav Raman Chai Adam, right? What about by Adam? Well, that's Machlokas in the Bavli. It's not clear that we fundamentally reject bona by Adam, but at least braiding here we do. And again, the question of how this is going to play out in Kalim is something that we'll deal with next week when we touch the machlokas of Yesher and Binyan B'Kalim, where we'll see. If you think Bona is more on the Ohel side, you're going to minimize or eliminate the extent to which we paskin Yesh Binyan B'Kalim. If you accept any of the other definitions, that creation, or medabek halakim, or medabek halakim with sensitivity for structure, are Bona, then you're going to open the possibility for certain types of Binyan B'Kalim, as we'll see. The Rashba is going to say that Osekli is bone, right? Putting a kli back together is not bone, but creating a new kli is bone, which, as you see, sort of stems from some of the definitions we've already seen here. Okay, Jerry, yeah.
I didn't know what Devela is. Is it that they're discrete
pieces? Which they then squish.
But they make it together in
it's
one?
It's a cake of pressed figs.
Yeah.
It's one circular piece.
Correct, yeah.
You don't see the discrete dates anymore.
Maybe you can make them out, but no, right? It's not like you can't pull them apart anymore, right? They're, I don't know if you can see them.
What they use to separate.
So, would a makabit tefillah be lash? Possibly.
Okay. That's, you can ask him that next week. Next week. Next week. Next week. Next week. No, 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 no.
Something else on this week. The gadol part, or Bnei Adam part.
Yeah.
So what about a modern example, like making something in a Petri dish, or I'm making clean meat on Shabbos, or, you know.
I don't know. Maybe. I don't know.
I'm building salads.
I don't know. It's a good question. I don't know. It's a very good question. I don't know. What do you think? Is making a purse, creating something on a Petri dish? I don't know.
Is
making clean meat, is that bone?
Like,
I would say it's makabe patish, but I don't know.
So the issue really comes back to Jeffrey's Bishul question.
No, no, but...
Okay, you know what? You know what? Later. We have to do this later.
The question is, because you're not building it. You are presenting a lattice, and it is growing into the lattice.
Okay, No. I'm coming back later. No. I know, but not now. Okay, the next... And this is the last question we have to ask, is in addition to the extremely complicated question of defining, but what?
כי אחרי זה שהולכים לאכול את זה, הולכים לאכול את זה מפורק.
אוקיי.
בינה, אי אפשר כבר לפרק אותה יותר.
אוקיי.
וזה, הרב גיגי מביא את זה גם.
He does bring it. Does he bring it as what the Magen Avraham means?
No.
As a fifth. As a fifth definition. Correct. Right. Another possibility. Yes. You're right. So I don't know. It could be that he cares about shape the way the Chai Adam does. Rav Gigi Davka thinks Chai Adam and the Magen Avraham are working the same. Lying, you're right. The Pnei Yeshua has this distinction that maybe Bona is only combining things that can never be.
Because he says that he's explaining the Magen Avraham.
No, I understand. That doesn't mean that you think he did a good job. That's not the point. But
Pnei Yeshua must be
the
Magen
Avraham. The Chai Adam does. Pnei Yeshua does? Does he? No, he doesn't. He's just in the Gemara. He didn't quote the Magen Avraham. Does he ever quote the Magen Avraham? I don't think he ever quotes the Magen Avraham. I don't think he ever quotes the Magen Avraham. He might, but I mean, I'm not saying that with any... there are people in this world who can say that with confidence. I am not one of them, and probably will never be one of them. I'm just, unless I just run a search on Bar Ilan, in which case I can say it with absolute certitude. But not because I will ever read through all of it. I don't think I'll reach that madriga. Okay. Fine. But you're right, that is a sort of fifth possibility, is right, that the difference of bone and other things is whether you can ever, right, is medabe kalakim that can never be separated, right, become an organic whole as opposed to ones that you can recognize the pieces. Okay, the next question, we have to begin touching on is, all of this gets complicated because, as I said, there is a malacha which is very similar to bone, and that's called make bepatish. And trying to, right, just because something isn't bona doesn't mean it isn't makah bepatish, and trying to define bona by itself doesn't fail, because a lot of the definition of bona isn't defining it itself, it's defining it in contrast to makah bepatish. The first people to notice this are the, you know, Amorayim, in 26, where the Gemara says this about misates, right, misates, mishum mai mechai, the, ewing, is that the word? Ewing?
Hewing.
Hewing. Hew, yeah. H-E-W, I don't know how you spell it. Silent N there?
There's a U if you do it in Canada.
What? Whatever. Why are you chayav for doing that? That thing. So Rav Amar Mishum Bonesh, Shmuel Amar Mishum Makeh Bepatish. How is the Nekev Belul Shel Tana Golem? If you make a hole in a chicken coop to let in air and light, Rav Amar Mishum Bonesh, Shmuel Amar Mishum Makeh Bepatish. Ayashuf de Bikupina Demora. You stick the handle into a kli, Rav Amar Mishum Bonesh, Shmuel Amar Mishum Makeh Bepatish. Utsricha, and you need all three. The first one, you might have thought, well, you're dealing with stones, that sort of building-like, so maybe there it's bona. Maybe I'll say it's not bona, it's only makah patish. Or maybe you'll say, no, even making a hole in a chicken coop is sort of bona-like, because at least it's a structure. And you're making a window, da'avde la'avira, so it's sort of window-like, right? You're letting in air, ala shufte b'kuvina demara, but sticking in a handle into a clay, de'en derech ben yimakach em modele Shmuel, v'yashmin b'ha, b'ha kamer Shmuel, b'ha nachtarte em modele derav, tzricha. So the Gemara already notes that you have these three sort of borderline building cases. In each case, Rav says it's bona, and Shmuel says it's makeh bepatish. So what does that tell you about the relationship between these two? What defines the border between bona and makeh bepatish? So let's look at a few definitions that will shed light on our question. Pnei Yeshua. After the daf geichad b'tchilas malacha chazan leikar milseh sh'acha chozer me'yapeu marchivo hu d'shayach behanach trei chiyuva me'ikara mishum bona l'suv mishum makeh bepatish. I said, bone, classic. What is the normal relationship between bone and makapatish is as follows. Bone is the beginning of the process, and makapatish is at the end of the process. Anything which, what complicates it is what happens if the beginning and end of the process, it happens at the same moment. Is that bone or is it makeh bepatish? According to Rav, it is bone. According to Shmuel, it is makeh bepatish. Why? Because Shmuel clearly thinks that bone, by definition, needs process. If it's a one, right? Bone is a process-oriented malacha. If it's the type of thing you can do in one shot, it's not. It can't be bone. It's makeh bepatish. And Rav says it's not true. Right, normally bona has a process, but you don't look at the process, you look at the result. What did you do? Right? I mean, if you what you did is structure-like, you created structures, then it is bona. So that's the next question you have to ask in bona, but that hangs on this difference between bona and makeh bepatish, the way Pnei Yeshua understands it. Bona requires process according to Shmuel and not according to Rav, and which is true, you know, depends on who you paskin like. Rav Gigi, clarify this a bit. Right, and he says maybe Rav thinks that bone is any pu'ulashi chelek mi ma'arechet ha'binyan, And Shmuel thinks that Shmuel Zor She'en L'chayev Mishumbona Elak Shiotzer Ed HaBinyan Atzmo Ve'osekbo. It may depend on whether you think Bona can be a mere step in a process, right, or whether it requires you to create something, right? Rav is willing to mechayven bona even when it's only a step in the process, and Shmuel might think that no, you need to, right? It needs a result. The Urayim says that makiv patish is only when there's nothing left to do, and it therefore has to happen after bona. What's the relation of bona and makiv patish? Makiv patish, it's simply a yeah, but it's also a it's a timeline question. If you're done, right, the moment at which you say I'm finished building, I need to do finishing touches, is the moment at which you move from bona to makiv patish. Bona is building, makiv patish is finishing, right? That's the difference. And the machlokas between Rav and Shmuel will just be A, either whether this is true, or B, whether what you're doing here is building or finishing the process. It could go either way. Tosvos. Oh, we have 3 minutes. Oh God. Okay. Okay. This machlokas is further complicated by the machlokas. I'm not going to be able to finish it today, but let me summarize it outside. As to whether the machlokas in the Gemara is, are you chayev bona exclusively or makiv patish exclusively? Or are they arguing about whether you're chayev one or two, right? Meaning it could be that everyone agrees that you're chayev mishum makiv patish question, you're also chayev mishum bona, or vice versa. And that is a fundamental question in Malacha in general, which hangs on, so let me just get this out there, a three-way machlokas, mefarshim. Some Rishonim and Achronim say that you can always be chayev more than one malacha. Minchas Chinuch, Rav Rosenzweig goes to answer this. What is the Minchas Chinuch's position on a Shabbos? That was the end of his question. But the answer he was looking for is that Minchas Chinuch thinks systematically you can be chayev more than one malacha for the same action. And therefore, what?
It's a Gemara.
Not necessarily, because it could be different parts of the process, right? You're doing something, I mean the same exact action. You could be chayev twice, right?
Yeah, no, it's Shabbos Davayim. Like
is it not
piece before you get to the list?
So that's the question. How do you it's Maisach. The question is, right? So the Rishonim, how do you read that? Right? So it's very complicated. But Minchas Chinuch takes his cue from there and says, yes, you can be chayv multiple malachos for one thing. Others like the Pnei Yeshua think it's not true. You can only be chayv once. When the Gemara says that, it means theoretical things you could be chayv, and we can never really be chayv for more than one. We have 30 seconds, so we'll come back to it. The third possibility is what the Meiri says, in the name of the Chachmei Adoros, is that maybe theoretically you can be chayev for more than one malacha, but you can never be chayev makiv patish and anything else, because makiv patish is sui generis. Makiv patish is finishing when it is not any other malacha. So we'll come back, we'll look at this inside next week. The last thing I gave you, it's actually not as much, because from 38 and on, I gave you sort of like a very, you know, overall thing from Rabbi Ribiat. Rabbi Ribiat tries to give four differences between Bona and Makiv Patish. We're going to start with this with next week, and next week hopefully also cover Binyan Bekelim.
And Okal.
What?
And Okal.
I don't know if we're going to do Oakland. We touched on Oakland. I don't want to get too much more into Oakland, because that's really the Shiloh's cheese and Vela. We'll definitely do Binyan Bekelim. We'll definitely finish up this question of Bona versus Makiv Patish, Binyan Bekelim, and then we might continue with Makiv Patish and maybe do Soser the third week. I'm not really sure. I have to think of how to structure it. But anyways, that's week one on Bona, Makiv Patish, Soser, Mess. Hopefully we got some clarity, or at least are unclear on the different possibilities that we're not clear about, which is where I am, but that's okay.